Thanks, Helen. Now, also this week, scientists have been gathering in Birmingham for the National Annual Cancer Research Institute, or NCRI, Cancer Conference, and that's to discuss the latest strategies for preventing, diagnosing and treating the disease. Katani has been there for the Naked Scientists.
Well, I'm here at the NCRI conference, that's the National Cancer Research Institute, which is an organisation that brings together all the funders of cancer research here in the UK. So that's people like the government, charities, all sorts of organisations that are funding cancer research. And the conference is really a fantastic opportunity to showcase what's going on in the world of cancer research. So we've got everyone from people doing the really fundamental lab research. We had a talk this afternoon from Professor Tony Kouzourides from Cambridge University, who's looking right at the sort of the molecular post-it notes that are put on our DNA that are important in cancer. Right now we're sitting above the lecture theatre and there's someone talking about the importance of dying with dignity when people come to the end of their journey with cancer. There's going to be everything from the very basic research through to the sort of the much more quality of life, patient care kind of areas.
But Kat, what's the problem with the UK allegedly not doing so well on the cancer stakes compared with the rest of Europe?
Exactly. The first lecture of the conference today was from Professor Michelle Coleman from London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and he's one of the world's leading epidemiologists. That's someone who studies the sort of the statistics and the populations to do with cancer. And he was pointing out that there have been a lot of studies, these Eurocare studies, that have shown that Britain pretty much is one of the sick men in Europe. You know, in terms of football league tables, we're drifting towards the relegation zone. And this is happening for a number of reasons. For a start, the Eurocare studies are using relatively old data. So in fact, here in the UK, around the sort of year 2000, 2002, we brought in a cancer plan. So we are turning around what we're doing. But it has shown that basically the UK has been falling behind. But it's not actually what people think. It's not all about access to drugs. It's actually really to do with early detection. And that was one of the most interesting results that he showed, that when you look at five-year survival rates across Europe, this is the standard benchmark that people use for how long do people survive cancer, you know, for 5 years, how many people survive that long. If you take out from those statistics all the people who die from cancer within a year, and that's people who basically their cancers were diagnosed very, very late, very advanced tumours, if you take those people out of the equation, Britain actually really comes back in line with the European average. So this tells us that, in fact, in Britain, our major problem is diagnosing cancer early.
And why is that?
Well, it's a number of reasons. There's obviously a problem with just educating people, that we need to get more information out there about what the symptoms of cancer are, and that people should really not just get the stiff upper lip and think, oh, it'll probably go away if I ignore it. Go to the doctor. There's also an issue with educating GPs as well to spot when someone presenting with certain symptoms may actually have cancer. And you think, well, cancer is a relatively common disease, but actually GPs may only see maybe 6 to 10 patients a year who actually do have cancer in a list of maybe 2,000-3,000 patients. So it's not really that common for each GP. So we need to do more in education for GPs and the public, and then also more in things like CT scanning, MRI scanning, to try and really get cancer detected as early as possible.
And just very briefly, Kat, before we move on, I know we're coming back to you shortly, but also there's a story this week about how computers can help to read mammograms, which might help to bring up the prediction and detection rate.
Well, exactly. And this kind of ties into the whole early detection thing. So in the UK, we have a fantastic programme of breast screening run by the NHS, and it does save thousands of lives. And it invites all women in their 50s, from 50 to 70, to go for a mammogram every 3 years. And every mammogram is read by two doctors. So two radiologists look at it, look for any sort of dodgy spots, and decide whether to call the woman back or not. And now what these researchers, led by Professor Fiona Gilbert at the University of Aberdeen, have shown is that you can use one doctor and a computer-aided detection system. And how this works is the computer system scans through the mammogram and spots anything that it thinks looks suspicious. And then the doctor looks at it and goes, yep, that looks dodgy. No, actually, that's just, you know, sort of an area of fluff or whatever. And then you only need to have one doctor's time per mammogram. So basically you're halving the workload for doctors. And this is really important because in some areas of the country where we're seeing screening, the interval of screening is meant to be 3 years, but we're seeing it drift out to 3.5, 4 years because there simply aren't the resources. So this could be a really great way to get more women screened and to help to ease the pressure on the screening services.
Kat Arney reporting from the National Cancer Research Institute Conference in Birmingham.